Well, over the past 2 weeks, we have looked at kind of some thought-provoking questions. For instance, we looked at 2 weeks ago, what's the difference between Christianity and Islam? And last week we looked at, is Jesus really God? I think the question for last week really got some people when they see that. Is Jesus really God? What's he preaching on that for? Well, it really stemmed and built off of what we looked at the week prior to that in Christianity and Islam and the difference between the two, because whether Jesus is really God or not is the major issue that separates us from the people in the Muslim faith, in the Jewish faith, any other faith that you have in the world that says that Jesus is not God. So we know that if you do not believe that Jesus Christ is God, then that is a non-negotiable. That's not something that we can go along with, and it is absolutely something that's going to separate you from the Christian faith. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man may come to the Father unless by me. So he's the only door. So we were able to see that clearly on last week, and even though we've seen some scriptures in the Old Testament that may have sounded otherwise. But tonight we're going to pivot a little bit and look at what does the Bible say about common sense. What does the Bible say about common sense? And specifically, we'll take a look at Proverbs 8:5 here in a second. But I think we need to define what common sense is. I think that's a pretty relative thing around the world today, especially because there's such a lack of it for us to be able to observe in the natural world. But Merriam-Webster defines it as sound and prudent judgment based on a simple perception of the situation or facts. And so you often hear people say, well, I wish you would just use common sense, or I wish that person would have used common sense. Another way of saying this is good sense and sound judgment in practical matters. So if you're having common sense, then you are having good sense and you're using sound judgment in practical matters. That's the definitions of it from the human perspective. But let's look and see what God's Word says about it tonight. The New Living Translation is what I'm going to look at first in Proverbs 8:5, and then we're going to compare that to the NIV here in a second. But Proverbs 8:5 says, you simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, show some understanding. That's the New Living Translation that we have on the computer. That's the SE version, and it's not the regular New Living Translation. The regular New Living Translation I do have in your notes that says, how naive you are, let me give you common sense. O foolish ones, let me give you understanding. So there's so many different translations that are out there. There's several that use common sense right there when it says good judgment on the one on the screen. And the NIV, if you'll see, it says, you who are simple gain prudence. You who are foolish gain understanding. All right. So the Greek word that is right there is omar. And that means shrewdness, craftiness, or prudence. That's the Greek word that is used in all of these translations that may be different in the English here. But Merriam-Webster defines prudence in these four ways that I put in your notes. The ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason, shrewdness in the management of affairs, skill and good judgment in the use of resources, caution or wariness as to the danger or risk. So when you look at the definitions, we get the sense that common sense is the same thing as prudence. And I've been saying that we need to be prudent for the past several weeks about stuff. I use that word. I try to have a fairly decent vocabulary, because saying we ought to be prudent sounds a little bit nicer than saying, why don't you use common sense, okay? But, don't act stupid or something like that, absolutely. But this is they both are the same. Common sense and prudence are basically synonymous when you look at their definitions. Common sense, again, is sound judgment in practical matters. And Proverbs 8:5, when you look at that, it uses prudence. Some other translations you may see use the word discretion in Proverbs 8:5. And then I said you have a select few Bible translations out there that say common sense. But biblically, common sense can be thought of as a combination of two things: wisdom and discretion. All right, wisdom and discretion. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 through 14, and this should be in your NIV, it says, "I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech." Verse 14 says, "Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power." So when you look at verse 12 there, it says, "I." Now this is, who is I right here? No. Wisdom. Wisdom. All right. And so wisdom is speaking here, basically. And it says, so he says, "I, wisdom, dwell together with," what? So the scriptures right there again tell you in plain and simple language that prudence and wisdom there are going in the same thing. Now let's backtrack a minute. What did I say was synonymous with prudence? Common sense. All right. So if common sense is basically the same thing as prudence, and this scripture is saying that prudence is the same thing as wisdom, then isn't that saying that wisdom is the same thing as common sense? You follow me? Okay. I think that's pretty much, they're all three the same thing. Biblically speaking is what we're talking about here tonight. Those words are all the same when you look at that. And if Proverbs is talking about prudence here, it's the same thing that you're talking about in chapter 5. Not the exact same word, but the exact same meaning here when you look at prudence. And it says, "I possess knowledge and discretion." So wisdom within itself possesses knowledge, but at the same time, discretion. All right, and we'll talk about a little bit of the differences there, because wisdom is knowing what you should do. Discretion is knowing when and where to do it. Okay? So when it says here wisdom possesses that knowledge piece and that discretion, you can have all the knowledge in the world but be unwise in how you deliver that knowledge or what you do with that knowledge. Okay? You have tons of people that are book smart about how to cook, but they have no earthly idea how to actually do that, all right? Or fixing on cars or something like that. It's very easy to possess knowledge, but it is not as easy to possess discretion when to apply or to use that knowledge. And that's where you get into the real root of common sense, okay? Because when we tell people that they should use common sense, it's usually because they have acted upon in a way that was, as we go back to the definition, was not in a way that was prudent or using sound judgment upon the situation of the facts. It's not usually them having just thought of something. But being foolish now is having no common sense, or being, as the King James puts it in Proverbs 7:7, being void of understanding. All right, that's not what you want to be. The Bible is not telling us that we should be foolish, that where we lack wisdom or we lack common sense. It tells us that we should be wise. And the book of Proverbs is no better book to proclaim that to us. It tells us the benefits of gaining wisdom, and it also shows the negative aspects of being foolish. And if you read Proverbs, it doesn't speak really well or highly of people acting foolish. It's pretty hard-hitting in those scriptures, and I've given you several here that you can reference. But in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, it says, "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. Who's she? Okay. Wisdom. Wisdom here. That'll throw you off sometimes there. It's hey, listen, y'all women can take that how you want. You can just preach that all day long. So I picked up on that very quickly when seeing how the NIV translated that. I think that Solomon was a wise man when he wrote this, okay? He no doubt was. I'm not going to say any different, okay? Jim has a saying that I love myself, and I have borrowed that. If the plain sense makes sense, don't look for any other sense, lest you be left with nonsense. So when you're looking at the Bible, if the plain sense makes sense to you, don't go searching for any other sense, lest you be left with nonsense at the end of the day. That's a beautiful term. It took me a minute to get it, but I've got it there. So when you look at what Proverbs, though, is saying here, blessed is any person, because it's not just talking about a man now, any person who is going to find wisdom, any person who is going to go and find understanding, because she, being wisdom and understanding, is worth more than any kind of earthly thing you can get. This is what the Bible is talking about again. The question for tonight is, what does the Bible say about common sense, okay? And if we go back and common sense is prudence and prudence is wisdom, again, we're talking about wisdom is the main thing. What is the Bible saying about wisdom and how we should have wisdom? It is the best and most profitable thing we can have. It says here it's better than silver, and it yields. It produces better returns than gold, all right? So I think that the Bible is speaking highly about wisdom, and if we want to call that common sense. Wisdom allows us to see life the way that God does, if you're using proper wisdom. When we seek God's perspective, then you're able to make decisions that are not based on just what you're seeing in the natural world when you look around and you're trying to see it in a worldly perspective, but we look at things that have eternal significance rather than selfish interest. It is not wise to make a decision that is selfish. It's not wise to make a decision that's only looking at worldly logic, okay? That is not wise. It may be effective to try to take in information, but at the end of the day, biblically speaking, we are trying to seek after God's will and God's heart, and that certainly transcends any type of logic that we could possibly muster. I put this boldly in the notes. When we choose to make decisions based on that kind of wisdom, we are then exercising common sense. All right? In verse 14 there, it tells us that wisdom is more profitable than silver, as I said. And so the best thing that you can do, the most profitable thing you can do, is to exercise common sense. So this is not coming just from the world. I think this is rooted in the Scriptures. Now, what's the biggest enemy today, as I put here in your notes, to common sense? And when you get to the root of it, really and truly, when you get to the root of people being foolish, I will say, in the world, not exercising common sense, not being wise, really it gets down to this self-gratification, this I've got to make choices about things that are going to just be good for me. And the world is becoming ensnared, all right, in this kind of instant gratification deal, thinking about just themselves, and it certainly rejects the wise path, because we want things to have immediate satisfaction today, when really and truly, most things that are worth having, you got to wait for, you got to work for, you got to earn in some way, except for salvation, as we talked about before. But today, if you go and you get something quick and easy, 9 times out of 10, it is not the best for you, all right? And if that's the case with food choices or whether you're signing a contract that seems to be gone really quick and really easy, then what about spiritual decisions? What about spiritual things that we're applying, you know, our logic and our wisdom to? If you're going at something and it's taken you just a couple of instances to be able to do that, probably you're going at it a little bit too quick. The Holy Spirit does much to your aggravation take a little bit of time to give you a really true sense of what may be best sometimes, all right? There's sometimes things are quick, but in my experience on big things that are requiring a little bit of discernment and discretion and all of that, the Holy Spirit's not going, oh, here's the first five things you ought to do. What he'll do a lot of times is, here's the first step. When you get done doing that, come back to me and I'll tell you the second step, okay? Drive it. You're like, look, I just want the five bullet points that I need to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we'll have this thing done. You go back, number two, he says, all right, come back. I'll give you number three when you get back. And we don't want to do that sometimes, so we get ahead of God. And we run around and we decide we're going to do it differently. And we'll stop about point number two, and then we find ourselves later after we've went on out and found ourselves eating pig slop, then we come on back to daddy's house and we start on back with number three, number four, number five, and you end up being like Jonah. You end up going to Nineveh anyway, okay? But if we'd be wise and we wouldn't be looking for instant satisfaction or gratification, we could use common sense. Common sense is often developed by learning from consequences such as poor choices. Don't you think that's true? The school of hard knocks educates many people. This is in Christianity too. How many times have we thought, okay, I really feel that's what God wanted me to do, and you go do that and you realize there were no fruit there, and you went, oops. And you didn't necessarily feel like you had lost everything. You just went, okay, where did I go wrong? I got out of step there. And that's the same way spiritually. It's the same way physically outside. We sometimes will make a decision, or we'll think we heard from God, or whatever the case may be, and or you touch a hot stove and you burn your hand and you realize, don't do that anymore, okay? There's so many examples. We learn best by the school of hard knocks, and God sends us to that school. He sends you to that school even in Christianity, and your faith, I should say, in your faith walk. He makes you go to school for that. You see that throughout the Bible and how they were doing things too. With that being said, everybody is going to make some poor choices, but it's what we do with the experiences that we have from them poor choices that see whether or not we have common sense. A wise person is going to learn from his or her mistakes. A foolish person just keeps on making them, expecting a different result, which is the definition of insanity, okay? Some people, and I don't know if I should say this or not, but some people seem born with more level heads, while others just seem to have to go through the school of hard knocks a little bit more of a rough time. I'm a little bit in between myself. I did not have to go and bump every stair up the 16-stair flight, but I had to get at least 7-8 of them, okay? Everybody has to hit a few. But there are some people, you get to the 15th, and you're thinking, he ain't got but one more. Surely this is going to be the time. You know, we're all different. Yeah, I know. It's just, yeah. You were born in sanity. This is a man who admits where he's been. But you know, I really thank God for the bad choices, the good choices, and all of that, because it makes us who we are today. It shows you, I mean, I don't think you could have any more stronger of a faith than to have done something and know that is not the way to do it. You know, God has brought you through something where you made a choice. And how many times has God saved us from our own stupidity? Okay, because he is wise. And I say, thank you, Lord, that didn't turn out how I wanted it to turn out. So many things, even in my spiritual leadership in the church, certain things I wanted to happen, certain plans I had put into place and said, all right, God, this is This is the order. This is the prescription here. I need you to fill it. And I am so glad he didn't listen to me, because he did so much more. He's so much more wise than I am. So, but when you go back and you look at bad decisions, that's not always a bad thing, because going back to what I said before, that school of hard knocks does help and inform us, and it does increase our wisdom with experience. Either way, wisdom and common sense should be continually pursued in order to experience the best God has for us. So you'll have people come in and say, "Well, I just can't seem to make the right decisions." Well, you know, you've got to learn what's going wrong. People have said, "Well, I thought that's what God wanted me to do, and it didn't turn out." Well, I can promise you, when you go to look back, He didn't leave you. He didn't walk away. We made a decision to turn away from Him at some point. So Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 8 says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones." I highlighted those last few verses in 6, 7, and 8, because if we're going to walk in step with God, then you're going to have that same mindset as God. And that means that you're going to walk in His wisdom. And that's why we are supposed to do what it says on our wall up here: "Nevertheless, not what I will, what you will." That is the wisest decision that you can ever make, is to pray and say, "God, I don't know how to do this. You know how to do that. Inform me." Okay? Now, that is not meaning that you need to get up and you need to say, "I'm not exactly sure how I should put my pants on today. Should I put the right leg in there first, or the left leg in there first?" Go ahead and pray about that, and you're going to be sitting there just pantsless. Right. What'd you say? Yeah, and that's where God is going to say, "Boom, have some common sense, okay, about things." But what I'm saying is, I've had people before say, "No, we shouldn't be praying all the time, 'God's will, God's will.' That just seems like we're trying to get out or get around if that particular prayer is an answer." Such as I'm praying for healing of somebody and we pray for God's will to be done. So you mean to tell me, when I come and I pray and I say, "I really would like this person, God, just heal them and heal their pancreas or heal their lungs or whatever the case may be. What if they have stage 4 cancer at the same time and I didn't know about it? Am I supposed to, God's only supposed to do what I told Him to do?" I don't do that. I will pray as specific as I can about my finite knowledge, but I'm going to trust in God's infinite knowledge, that His ultimate will at the end of the day, "Hey, this is what I think, God, and this is as much wisdom as I can muster about this, but at the end of the day, I want Your will to be done." You hear me pray every time. If I'm leading in something in this church and I get out of step with God, I want Him to tell me. I don't want to just walk off the cliff. I want You to tell me, "It's about to drop off. Stop. Turn around. I think that's love," not just keep on walking and plummet out there. So, yes, I think that we should look to God, who is the one that gives wisdom. When people walk in that kind of way, we see the Lord as what these verses tell us, as our shield. And it tells us here in verse 8, "For He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones." Now, I want us to soak that in right now, all right? If we walk in wisdom, it tells us in verse 7 that he holds victory in store for the upright. He is a what? A shield to those whose walk is blameless, for He guards the course He guards the path that you're walking down, the course of the just, and he protects the way of the faithful ones. That's what we need to hear right now. During this time of when where we're going, we need to get back to a level of common sense. And I'm not saying that we're not in a level of common sense right now, but we have to ensure that we as Christian people, okay, I am not being led by the world. I'm not being, just because, folks, just because a government comes and tells us to do something does not mean that we're operating in biblical wisdom, all right? We should heed, and I'm not just talking about this in the coronavirus, all right, because I know that everybody is on that big deal. But if the government come out last year and just said, hey, listen, we just think that the spread of the flu or the spread of anything else, churches need to shut down, we would have looked at the government as if they were nutcases for having said that. But when you have people riled up like they are right now with such hysteria that toilet paper is gone and people are getting every bit of toilet paper that is there, we have reached a level right this moment, and I think everybody needs to hear this, of where we are not using common sense. And we are not approaching things in a way that is diligent and in a way that is thoughtful. We're just flying by the seat of our pants, trying to throw spaghetti against the wall to see if it's going to stick. And when I look out at the world and I say, okay, over here you have said to me that I must stay in my home. I must not have my kids to go to school. I must not have church. I must not have all these other things. Yet we are still allowing people to go to 8 different businesses every single day of the week. Every person's still doing that. That does not, to me, display common sense. If we are going to try to do certain things like that, then we need to try to do a better approach about it. Maybe we should tell everybody from the government, you've got to stay at home for the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever the case may be. So I use this circumstances that we're in right now to just put it out there that most everybody is looking at this thing, and I don't feel that we are approaching our current circumstances in any manner. Do I feel led by anybody that we are approaching this with biblical wisdom? I think that we are in such panic and hysteria that even the church is kowtowing to anything that is being said because we are being judged by going against the world. Now, folks, I agree with 99.9% of the stuff that the government is trying to do right now. I'm not trying to say that they're not using common sense. But I've got to just tell you, I am always a little bit skeptical and a little bit weary when the government tells me every aspect of things that I have to do. And I try to go back and find out what God has for me. So that's the same principle that I put about everything. That should be the same thing that you do. I mean, you shouldn't have to have the government tell you to wash your hands. That's common sense. You shouldn't. I don't have to have the government to tell me how many bullets I can have in my gun. I don't have to have the government tell me what size drink I can or cannot, do. The Bible, if you apply wisdom from the biblical perspective, you won't harm your body in the way that they're trying to do and all the rest of that kind of stuff. So I just want us to make sure that we don't get so sheepish that we forget what this is saying here at who is actually the one who guards us, who's actually the one that is going to protect us. If God knows exactly how this situation with this virus is going to end. And the government and the leaders and me, and even me, we're flying by the seat of our pants. Every day we don't know exactly what we're going to do the next day. He does know, though. And I promise you, if we could get all leaders to say, who are we getting our direction from? And if all the leaders were getting our direction from God and using His wisdom, this thing would be over like that. But as long as we have human people doing what I said at the top of these notes up here, as long as, on the second page, as long as we're trying to get immediate satisfaction, we got to make a press conference today so that we can get people off of our backs, and we got to be out there doing something. These people over here said we should do it, and these people, I understand that in a small level because I'm dealing with that here and other places. But I am not certain, and I have no confidence, absolutely, that I should say, no confidence, that people are actually following God's direction about all of this. And what's scaring me is that the church is very fickle. Very fickle. We are allowing fear to just overcome us, as if, now again, I want to make sure that I say that we can't be stupid. And I'm saying this while I'm live streaming. We can't be stupid. And nobody says, hey, I've got cancer, and I'm not going to take chemotherapy treatments. I'm just going to let God heal me. Some people may say that, but I'm going to go get chemotherapy treatments if I feel that's what God led me to do. And so we should be sensible, and we should take assessments of our own self. We should follow advice. But if we do it properly, the advice that we follow, the wisdom that we discern, and the discretion that we use, will be right in line with what God wants us to do. And all I'm saying is, let's be careful to not get out of step with God. In crises like we're in right now, Satan is picking people off left and right. People are at the weakest they've ever been. They're going to be in the most lowest economic circumstances they've been, not knowing how to pay their bills, and they are going to not be exercising common sense. And I mean that by saying spiritual wisdom. We as a church, we have to be the ones modeling spiritual wisdom for the world right now. We cannot be people that are going to go out there and be a part of the mass hysteria or the crazies that are saying that, hey, the government did this to us. I mean, I've been hearing people say this all day, the government gave us this virus or something. Come on, people. Come on. We don't want to be a part of it. Neither one of them are wise. I think both of those are foolish. Both of those are foolish. But let's stand up for biblical wisdom. That's what I'm not saying I'm doing it right, but that's what I'm trying to do. This is these scriptures and what I'm trying to talk to y'all tonight and talk to everybody that's on this live stream. We're trying to follow what biblical wisdom would be. And at the end of the day, I'm going to have to stand before God and be judged on it. And hey, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. Every day I'm wondering. But the world is in dire need that somebody is displaying common sense. Absolutely. God. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like I said. I mean, we don't want to go and say, hey, I see a fire and I think I'm not going to get burned and just run in it. No, we're not trying to do anything like that. But this is a period of time to where I believe, what better time than a time of tragedy, than in crisis, than for us to proclaim the message of the gospel, which is the hope. A lot of people were talking about, so many Facebook memes have been out here about, if you're scared about this, but what if you're scared about eternity, or a table over here about coronavirus information, but a table over here about prayer. It is true that people on people's minds right now, death and the fear of the unknown and all of that is weighing upon people right now. And we have the flat, only real cure to everything that is out here in this world, and that's the gospel message. And there's no better time for us to proclaim that. So we can't allow Satan to shut us up and to get us looking at the storm so much that we are a no effect for God. And that's what I'm trying to make sure that I don't do, and that I listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And I just encourage each and every one of you and everybody right now that we need to be calm, be sensible, use common sense, pray and listen to God, because I guarantee you, He is going to see us through every single bit of this if we'll trust in Him. I'm trusting that He's going to be the one who's going to protect and shield us from everything. But not only that, there are so many people that are hurting. They don't even have the virus. They're being infected indirectly by economics. There are people with high anxiety levels that are just absolutely right now in dire straits. This is affecting people emotionally, spiritually, physically, economically, and all of that. And the church must lead during this time. The government has its place, but it is not our spiritual leader. And the churches right now are doing everything we can to still minister in the best ways that we're able to do through live streams and media and all the rest of that kind of stuff. And we've got to make sure that we continue to do that. All right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. It is, and we are very much in dire straits right now. And if we'll get back to that place, trusting in the Lord, and being sensible, and using common sense, as I said. Then I don't think the way all this is playing out is necessarily the way God is saying, hey, that's exactly what I'm prescribing for y'all right now. I'm seeing a lot of man getting involved in this, and God would be able, if we'll surrender this to Him, smooth things out, no doubt about it. But our commitment, and I'll say this, and then we'll cut the live stream off. I'll say a quick prayer. But our commitment here is to be able to do as much as we can to continue to do the ministry that we're called to do. Not that that may mean we may not have a pause in that for a minute, but we're going to continue to do that. And even if there's a slight pause, we got to get back to doing the Lord's work in a sensible time. All right, let's pray. Father God, we do praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word tonight. And Lord, we can plainly see that in your word, it tells us that we need to have wisdom. And Father, that we ought to use our discretion and how we apply that wisdom in circumstances in this world. And Father God, there are so many people right now as individuals, Father, as employees of businesses and Lord, church members and government officials all over the place, Lord, that we're all in uncharted waters, as has already been said in other mediums, Lord, and we're seeking different advice from all different places. But Father, I'm praying right now that every single person, Lord, that's in this church, that's associated here, every person in this country and in the world, that Father, we would turn to you for your leadership, for your guidance, Father, that you would be able to shield us, protect us, to guide our paths, Father God. Lord, I do pray for the spiritual leaders around our country and in this state, Father God, that we would to lead in a way that you would have us to lead during this crisis, Father God, to be your hands and to be your feet, Lord, even when it seems like that we're ministering in very dangerous times. Lord, you've called us to these types of purposes, and Father, I just pray for your protecting powers over everyone. And that, Lord, that this can be a time to where your light shines the brightest that it can, and that people can see that the only hope that is here in this world is in Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.